Everybody, I noticed him eyeing up Rob right before that shot. He saw Misty and then he saw Rob and he went right for the face. It was beautiful. I know our time's pretty well up and I'll try to just keep it within 10 minutes. We've been talking all night about spiritual growth and just also self-evaluation. So that's what I'm going to go over for my own life tonight. And that's kind of a challenging thing to do, especially in front of a lot of people, but we're going to give it a go. So just a quick story before I get into this. On Friday, me and Josh went down to work, and we were just supposed to fill up a heater and then leave. So we drove down to Rollo Bay, and we got there, and the heater was out. And so we had to try to fix it. So we took off the fuel filter, and it was just full of sludge and gunk. And so we tried we got a new one, swapped it out, cleaned out all the sludge and gunk, put it back on, tried it, still nothing. So then we had to go in deeper. And there was another film in there completely, like it was just a little round thing like that with a metal mesh. Nothing could get through it. It was just full of gunk. So we had to take brake clean, spray it off, clean it out. And so we put it all back together, tried it again, still nothing. So then we go in further, we go all the way in to where the ignition happens, and it's the exact same thing. There's just gunk and stuff all around this thing that's supposed to be letting fuel in. And I was just thinking when Brian was speaking last week, he was talking about how we can quench the Holy Spirit. And just like with that heater wasn't working because it wasn't getting fuel. It wasn't getting pure fuel going to it. It was just getting garbage. It was just getting filthiness. And so it could not work. And the same thing can be said about our lives. If we're just filling our lives up with filthiness, with dirty fuel, our lives are going to be exactly like that heater and useless. So we had Rylan read in Romans chapter 6, and maybe we'll start there. So we'll go to Romans chapter 6, and just, I said I was going to be pretty honest about spiritual growth this year. Memorizing Romans chapter 6 for me was huge. It really opened my eyes. Whenever you take the time to actually dwell on a chunk of scripture, especially one that just talks about how we were and how we are supposed to be, it will change your life, and I can say that memorizing this chapter changed mine. And I'm just going to read a couple of verses that I'm going to, that should be applicable for the rest of what I'm speaking about. So in verse 6, it just says, "Knowing this, that the old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin." Over to verse 13, "Do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God." And then verse 15, "What then? Shall we continue in sin because we are not under the law but under grace? Certainly not. Do you not know to whom you present yourselves slave to obey? You are that one slave whom you obey, whether sin leading to death or obedience leading to righteousness." And that one is super clear. There's only two options. You cannot be both. You're either obedient to sin, which leads to death, or you're obedient to, or you are in obedience, which leads to righteousness. And we'll skip down to verse 20. "For when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard of righteousness. What fruit did you have then in the things which you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now, having been set free from sin and having become slaves of God, you have your fruit to holiness and the end everlasting life." So tonight, I'm just going, and then I'll just read one other extra verse in Galatians 5:24. And those who belong to Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. And so today I'm going to speak about three things in my life that I had to put to death. And the first one was the music I was listening to. John DeVries, I don't know if he's here yet or not. But he would always, on the job site or whatever, if he heard just worldly music going on, he'd always say, "Garbage in, garbage out." And it's so true. Even the country stations or songs that you think might not be that bad are just riddled with all these little specks of filthiness that are just going to plug you up. And things like that just quench the Holy Spirit. And also just another thought about work. The guys know where I stand. And so usually they're connect. I make them listen to Christian music on the way to work. And then when they're at work, usually they'll go on the Bluetooth and play music that they'd like to listen to. And they're respectful whenever, to as much as they can be. They're respectful and they just will censor out songs that they don't think I will like. And what's really humbling for me is whenever I hear the start of the song and I know it and I know I have enjoyed it, and then they skip it. Because that means that their view of holiness in my life was higher than my own standard. And that's hard. Over this last year, I've just been able to move away from that. And it's amazing the difference it'll make in your life, especially your personal worship. If you're on your way to work, on your way to school, it just sets you off on the right note. And so that's all I'm going to say about that, because our time is running out. And next, believe it or not, I'm going to speak about sports. And those of you who've heard me speak before, I know at least twice from the pulpit I've said that sports have been an idol in my life. And I'll just read some lyrics from a song. It's called Clear the Stage by Jimmy Needham. And he just says, "We must not worship something that's not worth it. Clear the stage, make some space for the one who deserves it. Anything I put before my God is an idol. Anything I want with all my heart is an idol. Anything I can't stop thinking about is an idol. Everything I give all my heart is an idol." And I've confessed from the pulpit multiple times that this has been my roadblock. This has been just the obstacle I can't get by. It was what I was passionate about. It's what I like to read about. It's like what I like to watch. It's what I like to do. And I'm thankful today that I can say that sports is no longer my passion. It's sad whenever I think about how long it took me to get to a place where I can finally say that I love God more than sports. And I just want to thank everybody who has prayed for me, because it was just a hindrance in my life. And whenever I put something before my God, I couldn't serve Him effectively. And each of you might have your own personal idols. It could be your phone, it could be video games, it could be, again, just music or TV, whatever it is that you're passionate about. If you love it more than you love God, it is an idol in your life, and you need to remove it. And as of November, I've only watched one sporting event at home, which might not mean anything to a lot of you guys here, but for me, that's a big deal, and it's something that we can praise God for, because I've finally been able to move on. And now we're going to go to one that's a little bit harder, and we're going to just turn over to Numbers chapter 15. So I'm just going to read verse 30 and 31 to start. And this is just, as I've been reading through the Old Testament, you just see God's holiness and how He just hates sin and how He just can't have anything to do with it. And it just says, "But the person who does anything presumptuously, whether he is native born or a stranger, that one brings reproach on the Lord. And he shall be cut off from among his people, because he has despised the word of the Lord and has broken his commandment. That person shall be completely cut off. His guilt shall be upon him." Another word for presumptuously is it's sins that we commit knowingly or deliberately. And I was just thinking about something that crept into my life slowly, and I'm not really sure where it started, but I know where it got to, and it was with TV shows. and I was taking pleasure in TV shows such as The Office or Brooklyn Nine-Nine or Friends. You could throw Seinfeld in there. Any of that genre is just riddled with unrighteousness. There's no way I can look at those TV shows and with me watching it and in any way think that God was pleased with what I was doing. And so that's something that I had to repent of. And maybe we'll just look to verse 37, and we'll just read one more section here. Again, the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to the children of Israel. Tell them to make tassels on the corners of their garments throughout their generations, and put a blue thread in the tassels of the corners. And you shall have the tassel, that you may look on it and remember all the commandments of the Lord and to do them." I'm going to switch to King James Version for the last part of this verse. It just says that you seek not after your own heart and your own eyes after which you used to go whoring. And that's a pretty aggressive verse. God is saying you can't trust your eyes, you can't trust your heart. Your eyes will tell you that watching these things is good. Your heart will tell you watching these things is fun. But God is saying, when you're doing this, you are cheating on me. You are not doing what I've commanded you. You're ignoring my commandments. And we'll keep reading on, just verse 40 and 41. "That you may remember and do all my commandments and be holy for your God. I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt to be your God. I am the Lord your God." And we just sang Refiner's Fire. And the idea was to purify our heart and to be holy. And we're commanded in the New Testament to be holy just as he was holy. And that's a hard task. But whenever we think in the Old Testament, whenever we see the land of Egypt, that's usually symboling the world. And we know that the Lord, we'll just read verse 41 a little bit differently. "He is the Lord my God, who brought me out of the world to be my God. He is the Lord my God." And when we think about everything that he gave for us, everything that it took for him to redeem me from the world, it's shameful that I would just be so drawn back to it. And maybe we'll just look to Revelation chapter 3. And just, it's like I said, there's no middle ground. You're either a slave to sin or you're a slave to righteousness. And in Revelation chapter 3, and I was reading through Revelation a couple times, and each time when I got to this one, it reminded me of what my life looked like. And starting in verse 1 of chapter 3, "And to the angel of the church of Sardis write, these things says he who has seven spirits of God and seven stars. I know your works, and you have a name that you are alive, but you are dead." Other translations say, "I know your works, you have a reputation of being alive, or you have the form of godliness, but they always end with, you are dead." And it just continues, "Be watchful, strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die, for I have not found your works perfect before God. Remember how you have received and heard, hold fast and repent. Therefore, if you will not watch, I will come upon you as a thief, and you will not know what hour I will come upon you." God wants all of us. There is no way that we can be doing things such as listening to worldly music, watching worldly things, having things before our God. In Romans chapter 8, Brian also read, the things that are, if we are in the flesh, we cannot please God. There is no variation. There's no, that is the standard. For me, with what I watch with TV shows, my bar was, well, it's not that bad. So I guess there was bad, and then there was not that bad. It wasn't even good. It was just not that bad, and I had to repent of that. And Yeah, for me personally, this year has it's been tough. Purification is a hard thing. Whenever metal gets purified, it has to go through the fire, and its works are tested, and all the impurities have to get burned away. So I just challenge each and every one of you, just look at your own lives. Look at the music you're listening to, look to what your idols are, and look to what you're watching. And just remember that Jesus Christ came while we were in the world, while we were at enmity with God. Jesus Christ still came down and poured out all his blood for us. And someday we're going to have to give an account for every idle word that we speak, every moment we spend in front of the TV where we're just not doing anything profitable, and we're going to have to give account for that. And we're going to have to look at the Son of God that died for us, and we're going to have to try to explain ourselves. He's going to be able to say, look at my hands, look at my side, look at my feet. I've poured out all my blood for you. I've borne all your sins. What have you done for me? And so that's just what's been on my heart. I know I'm over time. We'll just ask Luke to come up and pray.
Bow our heads. Dear Lord, thank you for this day and that the fellowship you have given us tonight, and that Thomas would come and speak for us, and that you have put the fire in his heart to share this with us, that we would all learn something, and that we would walk away with something more in our lives, that we would have lots of fun in this next week, and that we have a good rest of the time. And thank you for this day. Amen.